So our next presentation is from Leanne Shulman from the Vermont Department of Health, and here's her title here.
Hello, thank you all for coming. Just let me know if I'm way too loud or too quiet. So I'm going to be talking about the Participatory Program Evaluation Planning and Support of the Vermont Comprehensive Cancer Control Initiative, and I may refer to that as CCC or Comp Cancer, probably Comp Cancer, just so you're aware. Before I get started, I want to thank my contributing authors, Erica Welsh from, well, until recently from the Kansas Department of Health, Sharon Mallory and Allie Johnson, both of the Vermont Department of Health, the CDC for funding, of course, all of the members of the evaluation committee who I'm going to be talking about, and the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors that provided me with funding and with access to Erica as a mentor through the national, through their EPI mentorship program. So, outline just what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the role of epidemiologists, specifically chronic disease epidemiologists, in evaluation. A little bit of context in terms of the Vermont Comp Cancer Initiative and where we were when we started this process, and then who participated in our process and how we decided who those people would be. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about the process we went through. Hopefully all of you are familiar with the CDC's evaluation framework, and if you're not, I would encourage you to look at the CDC evaluation guides. They have one that's specific to comprehensive cancer control, and then they have a more general one, both of which are excellent. So I'm not going to sort of rehash that, but I am going to go into some depth about things that we did that were a little bit different or that are provide a little more detail than the sort of general guidance does. Specifically in terms of product review and revision as a participatory process, and then the steps we went through in focusing our evaluation. Then I'm going to show you a little bit of our evaluation planning matrix and talk about sort of our final product, and we'll have hopefully time for Q&A. I'll try and be quick. All right. So evaluation is a chronic disease epidemiology essential function as defined by CSDE. There have been certainly some evaluation presentations here at CSDE, but I'm always in favor of more. And it is an important part of an epidemiologist's work. As defined by CSDE, chronic disease epidemiologists have the following functions: to design, implement, and coordinate evaluations of the outcomes of health services and the effectiveness, accessibility, and quality of health promotion and disease prevention programs, and to assist program managers and decision makers by providing information on how to use evaluation results, and to perform those evaluation research activities, including data analysis and interpretation of both quantitative and qualitative data. So, with that said, that's sort of my caveat of, I do belong here, it's okay. A little bit about the Vermont Comprehensive Cancer Control Program. We are funded through the CDC, through the National Comprehensive Cancer Control Program branch, and we're tasked with establishing and maintaining our State Cancer Coalition, which is the Vermonters Taking Action Against Cancer, or VTAC, and also with writing and implementing our state cancer plan. In 2012, our most recent funding cycle started, and evaluation became a more rigid requirement as part of that funding cycle. To meet this requirement, Vermont engaged an external contractor to create a 3-year evaluation plan and then to implement that plan. That plan was created with some stakeholder input, but by the time we got around to implementation, those stakeholders were really no longer involved. And the implementation of that 3-year plan was set to finish up in 2015, meaning that if we wanted to develop a new evaluation plan with contractors, we would have to wait till 2016 for the funding. Okay, so we were faced with the question in the fall of 2014, should we develop a new evaluation plan? Why would we want to do this? Well, it would be nice to not have a big break of maybe a year in implementing evaluation activities, and we were writing a new plan, a new cancer plan in 2015 that would start in 2016, and we really wanted the evaluation plan and the cancer plan to align time-wise. But on the other hand, we didn't have any money to pay a contractor, and there was a lack of evaluation capacity among our very small staff involved in comprehensive cancer in Vermont. So things were sort of evenly balanced. It could go either way. I had also just started, but I did express a willingness to learn evaluation. My training is as a biostatistician, so I had no program evaluation experience. But I was interested in learning, but, you know, having a novice do it without a lot of support was not going to result in the most robust plan. Luckily, though, the scales shifted once I got involved with the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors EpiMentorship Program, which matches senior chronic disease epidemiologists with a junior epidemiologist in another state. I was matched with Erica Welsh, as I mentioned earlier. She was at the time at the Kansas Bureau of Health Promotion and as a senior chronic disease epi with a focus in evaluation. So I joined the mentorship program with the objective of creating our 5-year evaluation plan. And this had tipped the scales enough that we were going for it. So these were the resources I had at my disposal that really allowed this to work. I had my mentor who provided excellent guidance, and she has a wealth of experience and access to different resources. Guidance from the CDC, as I mentioned, they have several different toolkits aimed at different programs as well as overall evaluation guidance. This is just the cover of the comprehensive cancer specific one. And then I had the input from the evaluation committee in terms of subject matter expertise and institutional knowledge that was invaluable. This sort of brings me to that evaluation committee. Who were they? And who do you decide participates in evaluation planning? In our case, that was relatively easy to decide because our pool was the membership of Vermonters Taking Action Against Cancer, our cancer coalition. So I'm going to just talk about who's in that coalition. So the Vermonters Taking Action Against Cancer Coalition is an organization of organizations with representation from a diverse group of stakeholders, including cancer researchers, medical professionals, nonprofits, insurers, multiple programs within the health department, and cancer survivor organizations, as well as individual cancer survivors. So the VTAC membership list was used to identify and engage stakeholders. Initially, we sent an email to all of our membership inviting them to join, to opt in, and that got a few people, but then I did some targeted recruitment of people who had been either involved in evaluation planning before, had evaluation experience, or represented organizations that had a particularly important stake in Vermonters Taking Action Against Cancer. So we ended up with representation from some of the key stakeholder groups. It's a 7-member evaluation committee with representation from the health department, beyond just me, cancer survivors, our state cancer center, ACS, American Cancer Society, a private insurer, and a cancer survivor support organization, which our program helps to fund. So, how did we work together in terms of how did I integrate both Erica's expertise from my mentor and then working with the evaluation committee? So we kind of were gears, and I would work with my mentor, and then we'd make some progress, and then I'd take it to the evaluation committee and we'd make some progress. We went through a really significant and substantial review and revision process for every single sort of piece of the evaluation plan that we developed. This involved initial drafting by me based on the literature. Then Erica would review it, and then I would do an initial revision, also known as rewriting most of the time. then I would get input from the committee and then rewrite again, and then I'd get a final approval from everyone. So this is a pretty traditional review process, but it was for every piece, and I just want to stress that the committee and Erica were involved at every step. And in terms of those steps, this is sort of a focus on the output steps in terms of the products that were created. So I created the logic model, and then the logic models used to create the evaluation questions, which were used to design the evaluation activities, which were used in combination with those questions to develop the EPM, the evaluation planning matrix, with a timeline. led to our dissemination plan and the complete evaluation plan. And this cycle does align with the steps outlined in the CDC's evaluation toolkit, which are to identify engaged stakeholders, describe the program, focus the evaluation, and plan for the dissemination and utilization of findings. And this whole, going through this whole process did take us about 9 months. So, the first thing I want to focus on here is the step between getting to the logic model and then how do you get from logic model to evaluation questions. So this is our logic model, and I don't expect anyone to be able to read this, so don't worry. So I redesigned the logic model starting from the version designed by our contractors for the previous evaluation plan. And I do want to focus on a couple of things that are a little bit unusual about our logic model, which is the main thing is those two, the yellow and the orange, which are two activity steps. Most logic models sort of have one activity step, but I found that it was very useful to separate out the coalition management activities from the interventions that a specific program implements. And that was very helpful for me and might also be helpful for other people doing coalition work and trying to create a logic model, because if you try and have the coalition activities and the interventions themselves is one sort of like activity line, it makes it very difficult to connect everything. So I then used the logic model to generate possible questions based on each output and outcome box and each of the arrows shown in the logic model to test the logic. That led to about 80 questions, so obviously we weren't going to be able to look at that many. The next thing I did was I divided those 80 questions into sort of three types, which I called passive, intervention-specific, and active. The passive questions are only passive in the sense that they weren't within the scope of this evaluation plan, and that is not to suggest that they are not important, because those are our sort of surveillance questions that are answered through our routine surveillance activities that we do. They're questions about mid and long-term outcomes from the logic model. An example would be, has the breast cancer mortality rate changed in the last 10 years? An example of an intervention-specific question is, did the importance, knowledge of the importance of colorectal cancer screening change among training participants? So these are questions about the effectiveness of a specific intervention. And these are also outside of the scope of this evaluation plan, because we don't know what exact interventions we're going to be working on in 5 years. So I created some templates for little mini evaluation plans and how to develop action plans for those specific interventions, and those are included in the evaluation plan, but we didn't plan intervention-specific evaluations this far out. And then active, and these are the questions that were within the scope of this evaluation plan and included things like, what is the quality of the VTAC work groups with respect to work plans and member involvement? And these were the questions that were relevant to the evaluation plan and were considered by the evaluation committee. So we'd gotten to sort of this first round of evaluation questions, and we moved from there into this focusing the evaluation, which is sort of the steps from getting from the evaluation questions to the evaluation planning matrix. And there's not a lot of guidance in sort of how that happens that I found in the CDC toolkits. It sort of seemed like it happened by magic. And I don't believe in magic. So I want to just talk about how we went through that process. So I started with those active questions from the logic model. And then I removed any redundancies or very similar questions were combined to so what I called consolidated questions, and I think we were at about 20 there. And I then worked with the committee to prioritize what they thought was most important, most feasible, just based on the questions alone. And then I took all like the top, everything but the really, really low priority questions. So there were only like 3 or 4. I ignored those, figured we're never going to get to those. But then I generated the possible activities and the resources and an estimate for the resources that would be needed to implement those activities. And that wasn't necessarily one-to-one with each question. So one question might need multiple activities to answer it. And some activities could answer multiple questions, which is why it was important to do this step. And then I presented the committee with the possible activities and information on what I thought it would take in terms of resources. And then I asked them to prioritize again. And then based on those activities, we got to our refined questions. And they're refined rather than just a subset of those consolidated questions, because there were some examples of sort of a broad question that would require multiple activities to answer. And some of those activities, the committee said, you know, that's not feasible. We don't have time for that. We'll just do this one piece. So I just need to make that question more specific. So those refined questions got laid out into the evaluation planning matrix with the activities, and I will show you one page of our evaluation planning matrix here. Also, another slide, please don't try and read it. I'll show you, give you the link to the full evaluation plan, which includes the evaluation planning matrix. But this is just our EPM for 2016, and something that's a little different from some other evaluation planning matrices I've seen out there that might be useful for other people are having this context column. So often you see an indicator column, which is to the left, which shows the sort of quantitative information that you expect to collect as a result of an evaluation activity. But we wanted to include this context column, which includes sort of the types of qualitative information that we expect to collect. And this is to help us remember, you know, in 5 years when we're implementing the 2020 part of the plan, what were we trying to look at when we were talking about interviews? So that's just a something that we found helpful. We also included dissemination in the form of specifying the type of report and the target audience for that report for each evaluation question, so we knew who our audience was going to be. If you're interested in looking at the full plan, please do. You can find it by going to healthvermont.gov/cancer and then sort of follow the links. This is the cover, thanks to our designer, the firm we contracted out to. They did a pretty job. And I think we might have some time for questions. I did want to bring home a couple of key points right before we have questions, sort of things that I learned that I thought might be most helpful. One is that working with an external mentor, if you have the option, is really great. It doesn't necessarily have to be something through a formal mentorship program, but getting input, if you can get the time of someone who's experienced, who's outside of your state and doesn't have any connection to the politics that might be going on, and doesn't really have any skin in the game, because it's great also to get help from other internal evaluators, but they may have perspectives that are more influenced by the politics or the specific situation that you're in. It's helpful to have that really external perspective. For coalition work, the two-stage logic model with the two activity stages might be really helpful for other people. I found it extremely useful. It's nice if you're going through the exercise of generating sort of all possible questions from the logic model to divide them into those three categories, those the passive or the surveillance questions, the intervention specific, and then the active questions that are more general questions that won't be answered unless you do specific evaluation activities. And then finally, the focusing the evaluation, going through the activity of question generation, then prioritization, then really thinking about what you would have to do to answer those questions, and then prioritizing those activities, we found really helpful, and we definitely got some different questions in the mix than we would have if we had just stopped at the initial question prioritization. And I will stress that, like, this is very important coming from the perspective of someone who is implementing a pre-existing evaluation plan as well, that there was a question from our old plan that was very broad, and there weren't really specific activities that had been planned for it. And we realized the question was way out of, there was no way we were going to be able to answer that question completely, but the way it had been designed early on was they might not have thought through all of the activities that would be required. And so the coalition, when they first designed that plan, was like, this is a great question, we would love to know the answer, but hadn't thought about the resources that would be involved in answering it. Anyway, now, does anybody have any questions? As I think we have a couple of minutes. 2 minutes. Perfect. Yeah?
Can everyone hear me? How do you expect the plan to adapt to ever-changing recommendations for
Yeah, so luckily, because our plan doesn't actually include any questions that are specific to any individual intervention, we don't have any questions that are about specific screening recommendations. So we've kind of avoided that issue, but there is, you know, possibility that are quite likely that the program may change significantly in the next 5 years, and we did sort of allow for that flexibility and prioritized questions within the plan, if in case resource allocation changes as well, which is quite possible with the new funding cycle coming up. Any other questions?
So you say your background is more biostats background.
Yes.
And you went to have the evaluation and new role. How did you find evaluation work, or would you like to pursue it further?
Yeah, so I am interested in continuing to do more evaluation work in addition to my role doing statistics and more traditional EPI work. I have found it very challenging, especially looking at the qualitative, and it's learning to appreciate the benefit and the role of qualitative evaluation has taken me a little while, but I'm getting there. These are words. These don't matter. Comments, I don't care about those. Where are my numbers? So it has taken me a while to get there, but I have found it really valuable and would highly recommend it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.